Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shankara Buildcon Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokharna from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yusuf. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for taking out the time to join us today in the Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of Shankara Buildcon Limited. The latest earnings presentation and press release for quarter four results have already been uploaded on the stock exchange and on the company website. If you wish to be added to our mailing list, please feel free to write to us. To take us through today's results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, Mr. Dhananjay Mirale Srinivas, Executive Director, and Mr. Alex Varghese, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with a brief overview of the quarter and the full financial year from Mr. Dhananjay Mirale Srinivas, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that this conference may contain certain forward-looking statements about the performance of the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve certain risks and uncertainties. With that said, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Srinivas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sayam. Good morning, and thank you for joining us as we go through the results and performance of Shankara Buildcon Limited Q4 and FY26. I have with me Mr. Sukumar Srinivas, Managing Director, and Mr. Alex Varghese, Chief Financial Officer. FY26 marks the first complete year of reporting for Shankara Buildcon Limited as a separate listed entity following our 1:1 demerger from Shankara Building Products Limited. I would like to begin with our financial performance for FY26. Our revenue for FY26 stood at rupees 6,826 crore, an increase of 30% year-on-year. Q4 FY26 revenue stood at rupees 1,996 crore, an increase of 28% year-on-year and 20% sequentially. Our growth was primarily led by our steel marketplace, with steel revenues at rupees 6,220 crore, an increase of 33% year-on-year, whereas steel volumes grew by 32% year-on-year. We are happy to announce we surpassed our 1 million ton target for the year and reached a milestone moment of 10.16 lakh tons for FY26. In Q4, we delivered 2.89 lakh tons of steel volume, an increase of 19% year-on-year and 11% sequentially. Our core categories of steel tubes and pipes, flats, and roofing all contributed to this growth. Our non-steel business revenues came in at rupees 606 crore for FY26, an increase of 2% year-on-year, and rupees 161 crore for Q4 FY26. The company's EBITDA stood at rupees 228 crore, a jump of 51%, translating to an expansion of 47 basis points to 3.35% for FY26, as compared to 2.87% for FY25. Our Q4 FY26 EBITDA is 3.51% vis-à-vis 3.05% in Q4 of FY25, and sequentially up from 3.30% in Q3 of FY26. The PAT for FY26 was rupees 128 crore, a 64% growth year-on-year. Q4 FY26 PAT stood at 42 crore, a 42% year-on-year increase, and a 66% increase sequentially. Our FY26 PAT carries a one-time 2.61 crore provisioning related to labor code amendments. Our ROCE for FY26 was 36%, and our working capital cycle improved to 25 days. The finance cost remains under control, coming to 0.63% of the revenue in Q4 FY26, while we continued our robust growth. Our performance validates the rationale of the demerger, where Shankara Buildpro Limited is a pure-play leading building materials and home improvement marketplace, delivering volume-led growth, superior ROC, and healthy asset turns. Going forward, I will now talk about the medium to long-term roadmap and business outlook for Shankara Buildpro Limited. In FY26, we completed the 1 million tons milestone. We are targeting a 1.2 million ton total steel volume for FY27 and a 1.4 million ton in FY28 steel volumes. And we plan to achieve the 2 million mark by FY31. Steel tubes and pipes, which is our largest product vertical, and Shankara is proud to be the largest distributor and retailer in India. We aspire to grow from 6.9 lakh tons in FY26 to 1 million tons in the next 3 years in steel tubes and pipes. Our ambition to grow here is notable given the higher base of this business with almost 7 lakh tons of volume in FY26. Our non-steel business faced headwinds this past financial year. However, we are confident and optimistic to regain our growth momentum. We plan on achieving Rs. 750 crore in FY27, a 25% increase compared to FY26, and Rs. 925 crore in FY28. This growth will be sustained by our core categories of plumbing, fittings and sanitary ware, while we expect a gradual recovery in the tile industry. We are optimistic to scale up our electricals and paint verticals in the coming years as well. Our e-commerce division has witnessed substantial growth in FY26, clocking in at Rs. 22 crore, an increase of 322% year-on-year. We are optimistic on scaling up this division and are targeting revenues of Rs. 35 crore in FY27 and 50 crore in FY28. We plan to add 7 to 10 new fulfillment centers / stores in FY27. We plan to further add 4 to 5 new stores and fulfillment centers each year in high-potential micro-markets. Our approach to adding stores will remain strategic. Our same-store sales growth of 23% in FY26 reflects this strategy. In the medium to long term, we aspire to take our EBITDA margins to around 4%, up from 3.35% in FY26, driven by gradual product mix improvement, growing share of value-added steel categories, and operating leverage as we increase our scale of operations. Shankara Buildpro has delivered a stellar performance in a year to serve continuous global disturbances. Now, I would like to provide some context on the environment in which this performance has been delivered because it has been anything but easy over the past 12 to 18 months. The steel side of the industry has been navigating sharp price volatility through the year. Hot-rolled coil prices moved meaningfully, dropping through the second and third quarter of the year before rising again sharply in Q4. The implementation of safeguard duties on steel imports has helped domestic prices settle at firmer levels, providing a more conducive operating backdrop entering FY27. Underlying demand has remained supportive, anchored by infrastructure spending across metros, highways, ports and airports, and a structural shift towards structural steel in modern construction. Incremental supply from newer steel capacities in FY27 is also expected to be moderate, which is likely to be absorbed by the nominal growth in domestic steel consumption, thus keeping the market position firm for the rest of the year. The non-steel landscape has been more challenging. The Indian ceramic tile industry was disrupted through the latter part of FY26 by a sharp rise in natural gas prices and production cuts at the Morbi cluster. This forced manufacturers to take price hikes, which is further expected to weigh on demand. Tile retail demand has consequently been tepid, and this has been reflected in our own tile category performance. In plastic pipes, the industry has experienced a tough year. The plastic pipe industry in India is estimated to have seen volume degrowth in FY26, driven by a sharp PVC resin price volatility. Channel inventory cycles got disrupted, and agri-pipe demand was particularly impacted. The Jal Jeevan Mission spending also moderated, with actual disbursements running at roughly one-third of the announced budget over the past 2 years, thus keeping the overall demand environment muted. Within non-steel, plumbing, fittings and sanitary ware continued to perform reasonably well for Philpro. And emerging categories such as electrical lighting and paint have also shown growth in FY26. Our steel business has grown 22% in volume in this environment, and our non-steel business has held positive against an industry that has actively contracted in many sub-segments. Shankara Philpro was able to surmount these challenges and achieve a record performance. We believe that we have a unique business model that helps us overcome numerous obstacles and speaks to the strength of our business. I will now touch upon the structural reasons we believe Shankara Philpro is positioning differently than other players in the building materials marketplace, including the well-funded new age startups or large corporates that have entered the building materials distribution conversation in recent years. Philpro is built on an evolving playbook across markets and categories. We are not a single marketplace model. We have a wide customer spectrum with ticket sizes ranging from ₹500 to ₹1.5 crores. The same network of stores and fulfillment centers cater to customers ranging from homeowners, influencers, contractors, dealers, mid-sized builders to large institutions who procure materials through various modes like in-person visits, telecalling, online platforms, etc. This makes Shankara a true omni-channel business. We are a true multi-vertical, multi-product and multi-brand marketplace with over 2 lakh plus SKUs spread across 25 verticals covering 75 categories, and we are working with 100 plus leading brands. Shankara Philpro is able to service customers with a complete range of steel items, building materials and home improvement products. A true one-stop destination for all building material needs. Our multi-territory and strong supply chain spread allows genuine penetration across metro, tier 1, tier 2 and tier 3 markets. Shankara has built a strong presence across urban, semi-urban and rural India through our network, ensuring grassroots coverage beyond top cities, enabling true last-mile serviceability. The Philpro advantage is reflected in our ability to cater to complex needs of the building material industry. Every vertical sells differently in India, which changes expectations and customer experiences. Philpro, through years of experience and trial and error, has developed a unique operating model that balances central control and systems with local autonomy and flexibility. This enables us to cater to regional tastes, customer purchase habits, and the flexibility to compete with local players. We have closed FY26 with a record performance that has laid a strong foundation for the coming years. With our updated medium-term roadmap, an improving margin trajectory, and lean balance sheet, Philpro is well positioned to deliver another year of strong, profitable, and volume-led growth in FY27 and beyond. With this, I would now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Sneha Talreja from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hey team, congratulations on strong set of numbers. A couple of questions from my end. Firstly on the demand front, given that in the month of March we've seen such substantial increase in prices across the board, across the building material categories, be it tiles, be it pipes. What is the kind of an impact that we are seeing on demand, because you cater to the entire gamut of products? Are we seeing any resistance in terms of buying, or could you actually help us with how April would have been for you, or how May is faring out from that angle?
Yes, Neha. Yes, definitely the kind of sharp increases of prices across the board in whether it's tiles, whether it's partly in steel, whether it's other products, is definitely impacting in, demand to a small extent in probably good impact April, May and June as well. But I do see that some prices are correcting, and I think there has been some resistance people expect that, you know, this is a short-term blip. So, I think some amount of postponement of purchases are happening. But if I look at the year as such, I think it should normalize and we should see a fairly normal year.
Also, an extension to this, any category where you are seeing availability as a challenge? Like, we heard of, you know, Morbi being shut for this entire of, you know, 2 months and now, you know, they're coming back. Any procurement issues that you have, given that, you know, you do a lot of working with such players?
Yeah, definitely Morbi has been a challenge in the tile industry, which we mentioned in our opening, I mean, remarks. From, I would say, probably March itself, it has been badly impacted. But steadily things are improving, and we expect that by June itself, things will start normalizing, albeit at certain higher pricing, which is okay, which is healthy for the industry, because it had gone down to very low levels prior to the last quarter. So I think it will come back to a fair amount of normalcy in June onwards. There has also been in steel in certain special categories like, you know, coated products, etc., where there have been shortages witnessed in partly in March and April and May. I think even that is slowly normalizing now.
Understood. Also, on your guidance, sir, you also are targeting around 1.2 million tons of steel tubes volumes. But if I just look at the current scenario, I think one of your largest suppliers also hinted for some amount of slowness in the market. How do you plan to achieve this? Do you think it will be more like second half led? Because what we are understanding is in the quarter one, the demand seems to be a bit on the slower runway. Could you actually help us, with that?
Just a correction, Sneha, it's not 1.2 million tons of steel tubes, it's of overall steel. Out of that, currently about 70 lakh tons is steel tubes, 7 lakh tons, sorry, is steel tubes. So yes, there has been some slowdown, as I mentioned earlier. But I think we are quite optimistic, as I mentioned, that we definitely feel that there is no, you know, substantial slowdown in demand in the real demanding industries, like if it is infrastructure, if it is various other projects, it is steel tube, the auto industry is still doing pretty well. So I think in terms of steel tubes, like I said, it's a temporary blip. Definitely, I would say the first quarter may be slightly slow, but I'm actually hoping for recovery in June itself. And I do feel that quarter two onwards, maybe, you know, the monsoon season hits in the quarter two. But generally, we find that July and August are also fairly strong months for us. It's generally the September-October period that is, you know, the latter half of the monsoon and the festival season that drives our demand a little bit. So I do see that, yes, it would be probably a greater quarter two-led demand to achieve our targets.
Understood. And lastly, on your product mix, of course, you know, we've been hearing of non-steel increasing at a, you know, at a stronger run rate versus steel, and that's the margin expansion that you've been aiming for. Any guidance that you would want to give over a period of next 3 to 5 years, where could this non-steel ratio stand?
Yeah, currently we are at a little under 10%. Definitely our internal target is to take it up to the 15% to 20% is our target. So that is what we would aspire to in the next 4 to 5 years. But then of course steel is also expanding in a fairly large way. So, you know, that could pair it. But then non-steel growing at a much faster pace is what we are targeting at. So it would come probably and settle in the next 3 to 5 years around 15%, 16%.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll get back in the queue for quick.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Viraj from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, my question is on your non-steel piece. You sounded very confident on 750 crores for this year. And this is in a backdrop where, this year FY26 has not been great. We haven't grown. And the macro environment hasn't still really improved. So what gives you that confidence? Are you opening a new store? Or, like, why do you think you'll be able to grow 25% in non-steel this year?
I think number one, we have been looking at in non-steel what are our larger verticals or where we probably have not focused adequately in the last many years. So one of the areas which we have identified, though it is competitive, we are fairly confident that we can make fairly strong headway into in the CPVC and the PVC segments itself. So we have got a substantial, we are very small in that particular space. So we feel that there's an adequate headroom for us to grow in that area, which is pretty small as of now. So I think that is one area where we are very confident of, you know, adding at least a fairly substantial chunk in this growth of about 150 crores. Second area is in the roofing products itself. We've been exploring more and more products which are aligning with what is a growing demand in India. There has been a substantial demand increase in UPVC roofing. So this is another area which we are looking at very aggressively in the demand. We've already started importing material from China, which we are branding with our own brand of Ganga. We've also expanded our supply source in this particular area. The third, we also see a recovery in the plumbing, in our traditional segment of PPE and sanitary, which I think is much more bullish that we do see some amount of rebound. And also, the early shoots I do see of the tile industry also recovering, which looked pretty bad over the whole of last year, I would say, in spite of the last couple of months being probably worse off than the whole year. But I do see that there are green shoots, and we are quite optimistic that this area will also grow well for us.
And you're seeing green shoots at an institutional level or at the retail buying level? Like, is the builder project side reviving or the retail side reviving?
We are seeing at the retail level it is reviving definitely. And we are also going a little more aggressively in our own brand for distribution and trade. So that means it will largely be in the retail level.
Sure. And sir, second question is on steel. Would it be fair to assume, sir, that, your pipe, when you talk about 20% growth, your pipes and tubes will grow slower than your flats and longs? Is that a fair understanding? Yes, please.
Please finish.
So, sir, our understanding from the outside is that your margins in flats and longs are higher. So when you scale that business faster than your pipes and tubes, there will be some margin improvement at a product-wide level just in steel, and you will also have operating leverage. So is that a fair understanding then?
Fair assumption, but as we've also given a guidance in steel tubes that we're looking at, a fairly rapid growth to reach our 1 million tons in the next 3 years, that means we're also looking at something like 18 to 20% growth in the coming year. So I would say yes, the flat products would grow at a slightly faster pace, but steel tubes will not be way behind.
Right. And when you talk about 4% operating margin as a strategic objective or as an ambition that you kind of have, then if you can just put a timeline, like is it like a couple of years or way out than that, like just some ballpark understanding of that?
Definitely in the 2 to 3 years time frame, so sort of a medium term outlook.
Sure. So probably FY28 or worst case FY29.
Yeah, I think you look at 29 would be safer, Viraj. Because I don't want you to come back to me next year itself saying that kyun nahi hua.
That anyways we will. No problem, sir. Best of luck and thanks once again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shlok Bhartiya from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So on the volume front, now we have almost crossed this 1 million tons. So just wanted to understand, the volume was largely driven by the demand, or we have gained some sort of market share from the other players?
I think it's a mix of both. Definitely demand has been quite buoyant. If you look at the steel industry as a whole, broad micro statistics talks about 10+ growth. And so obviously when we have been growing at 30%, you know, there's still a gap. So I would say it is one, we have grown in our existing territories because we've expanded our reach in the existing southern territories. We've also grown in our newer areas like Gujarat, MP, etc. So I think it's a mix of both.
Okay. And in terms of the spin business, so can you help us understanding the the bifurcation in the retail and non-retail on the steel front? And how do we see that both the segments growing?
Yeah, so the retail part is about 50-53%, but you can say broadly a 50-50 mix.
50-50 mix. Okay, in the previous participant question, you articulated, alluded that from the sub 10% of the non-steel revenue, we are targeting 15-20% over the next 3 to 4 years. So is it fair to assume the even the margin targets from 3.3% to 4% will take that longer, or probably you will be achieving that on the faster rate?
We are guiding for about the non-steel anyway. We are talking, yes, you're right. We are talking at a 20-25% kind of a growth. We've actually targeted straight away 25 this year. So, proportionally, yes, the margins will also, I mean, we hope to, like I said earlier, with the earlier participant, that the 4% aspiration is ASAP, but I would say probably, you know, the next 3 years or so, we should hit that mark.
And in terms of the bifurcation, can you help us, what will be the EBITDA margin at the steel level and the non-steel level?
So the EBITDA margin for non-steel level is around 6.5%, and steel will be around
3%. And in terms of the fulfillment center that we have opened over and all, definitely we have seen a significant SSG on the retail side as well. But how do we see the contribution of the fulfillment center going ahead, and number of centers that will be opening over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I think in this year itself, we are targeting about 7 to 10 fulfillment centers. Out of which 3 have already been opened. And in the subsequent years, we are looking at around 4 to 5.
Okay, and so the 3 that we have already opened, it is in which area, which state that we have opened it?
One, we have opened one in Vasai outside of Bombay and Maharashtra, which is only,
okay,
as of now, only for steel tubes. So
mm-hmm.
This is one. Then we have opened one near Trichur in Kerala.
Okay.
And one fulfillment center near Mangalore. So the Mangalore one is purely non-steel. The other two as of now are in, related to steel.
And lastly, on the non-steel, definitely we have seen the impact on the tile space on our manufacturing as well as the overall volume. But what sort of, cost impact that we have seen in the last quarter, or probably because of this war, and can it possible to quantify the impact because of this ongoing war, or the cost impact on the tile front?
Sorry? The impact of the war on the
tile industry? Yes.
Yeah, tiles, I think the first impact, particularly when it just started in, the end of February, when the war and the shocks to the system happened, I think March was, literally we lost sales dramatically because there was literally no supply. A lot of the Mumbai units just shut down because there was no gas. They were the first people to get impacted. So I think that was number one. So there was a virtual shutdown in many of the factories in March. February, by March end, by February, people started opening at a much higher pricing. So there was a much higher pricing. It went up by about 10-15% was the kind of increase in the pricing at that point of time. But it's been a little unsteady because they have been opening, shutting. Some of them are talking of 50% production. Some are talking of 60, some shut down. So there has been a sort of an uncertainty as far as the tile operations itself in Malvi in the last two and a half months now. And I think now they're all talking about opening up, and because it's at a much higher price because the gas has of course increased, So they are talking about much more steady kind of supplies starting currently.
Sure, sir. That's a good thing to hear about. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side and all the best.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Utkarsh Somaya from ICO Quantum Solutions. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please tell me your inventory gain in this quarter and the corresponding quarter last year and Q3 FY26?
Inventory gain in Q4 was close to around 15 crores, number one. Number two, we also had certain one-time, and in the previous quarters, there was virtually no gain at all. In fact, the previous three quarters, we would have had about, I think, what was the inventory loss in the previous three quarters? So it was around 8-9 crores in the previous three quarters, number one. Number two, in the fourth quarter, we've also had certain exceptional expenses, where we had about 5 minutes, I'll just give you the detail. In Q4, we had around 16 crores of additional costs due to demerger cost, additional rental expense. There are some bad debt provision was there. So these are the impact in Q4 which has happened.
Okay, so both are cut off. They cut off each other. The inventory gain is one time and the 16 crore cost is also one time.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, and my question was on your operating leverage. Given that your business model is a B2B marketplace, how come we are not seeing operating leverage? Because your revenue, if you see on a year-on-year basis, has grown by almost 400 odd crores and quarter-on-quarter basis, 300 odd crores. So can you just explain to me how your business model works? Because I assume that there will be a lot more operating leverage than you had.
I mean, if you look at the interest cost has more or less remained the same or marginally come down. If you look at the people, we have grown 30% this year. So you think much of the expenses has not grown by more than 7-8%. So I think there's a fair amount of leverage that is coming. If you look at last year, our gross margins were in the region of, PAT, EBITDA was around 2.37. This year it's about 3.35. So I think there is a fair amount of leverage gain.
Okay, so understood. Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm audible, sir.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just wanted to understand first a clarification. You mentioned 16 crores of additional cost was due to demerger, right?
No.
So the cost was around 2.5 crores because of the demerger. There was an additional rent of 2.5 crores.
Uh-huh.
We also had a bad debt provisioning of around 11 crores.
Okay, bad debt provisioning was around 11 crores.
Yes.
And where is factors? I mean, these costs and in which line item?
All these things are shown in the other expenses.
All these things are shown in other expenses. But your expenses has increased only from 23 crores to 34 crores. So ideally, your quarter and quarter has increased only by about close to 11 crores, right? On a higher level.
Because there are some other expenses, it was less. Because the previous quarter, we had that labor code 2.61 effect was there, which has not affected in this quarter. That was what reduced. And apart from that, the rental expense was there addition.
Okay. I understood that. And in terms of, we are targeting FY27 around 7-8 stores or fulfillment center in FY27?
We are targeting 7-10.
7-10. And then what would be the capex involved there, total?
We are looking at around
15-20 crores of capex will be involved.
15-20. But per annum, in general, we have spoken about 4-5, right? Only this year, we are targeting 7-8.
Yes, this year we are going a bit more aggressive in strategic micro markets.
Mm-hmm.
And then from next year onwards, we are still guiding at that 4-5 per year.
From FY28 onwards, maybe, yeah.
From 28 onwards.
Okay, okay. And given the commodity prices are higher, we expect inventory gain first quarter as well?
The first quarter, I'm not very sure. It's too early to date to comment.
Uh-huh.
Because the price have already started sort of plateauing out in May and June. So we'll have to see how June pairs out. So it might just square off, April gains may square off in these 2 months.
Okay, so we do not expect much in terms of...
Yes.
Okay, and you did mention on the demand side there is some slowdown that we have seen in first quarter, this April, May, June. So is there any extent you can highlight, I mean, on how much is the slowdown or I mean, this annual growth if you're targeting, let's say, 20% on the volume. So first half would be lower and then second half you expect to pick up?
I will not have that even a guess for the second quarter because I hope second quarter will be much better than the first quarter. But as it is, the way the current trend, we are like 50% through in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So our personal, if I compare it to first quarter of last year, we are still at about 10 to 15% above last quarter. I'm talking about Q1 of FY's
on a YOY
26.
Yeah. 10 to 15% is what I mean. Okay. That's pretty good. I mean, given the scenario, I think that would be from my side. Wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Apurva from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. So I have two questions. First one is, how do we hedge ourselves from the volatility of the steel prices?
Okay. See, we have been seeing steel volatility over the years. I mean, this is nothing new to us. So over the years, the very key things. One is, how astute are you in your inventory management, the kind of cycles that we're able to turn. Number two is our Shankara's existing robust models, because we do have a fairly large amount of retail in the steel segment too. So where steel prices are not passed on very immediately whenever it goes down, and when it goes up also, you pass it on based on your customer relations. Secondly, we also have a fairly robust end OE customer model with us, I mean OE customers. Normally, end user customers, the pricing is a quarterly kind of a base. So when the prices go down within a quarter, let us say, normally what's picked up in the first of the quarter would be the price that continues for the whole quarter. So these are broadly the three ways that we pair our inventory losses to the large extent. It does have some impact even on inventory gains, because when the prices do suddenly shoot up when we have OE customers, this the converse also applies, where you do not probably get the whole advantage of a price gain because you have to maintain the prices for a quarter. But I think in the long run, it proves quite beneficial to have. So I think our model itself is fairly robust in terms of managing inventory losses or gains.
Okay, and so my second question is on the, what is the EBITDA margin outlook the current year, as per 27?
We are looking at in the region of, the same, around 3.5, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and 1. Next question is from the line of Darshan Baudani from Electrum Portfolio Managers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for giving the opportunity. So your first question is, out of like close to 96 stores which you currently operate, how many are owned by Shankara Building Products and how many from the third party?
In Shankara, the Build Pro, we don't own any stores.
Okay. So, how many get leased from the Shankara Building Product out of this?
It is from our the other sister concern, Building Products Limited.
Yeah.
So, in
is around 16 of the toll plant from Shankara Building Products Limited.
Okay, and what is the rent we expected to pay them in FY27?
Overall, the rent will be around 9 to 10 crores, including
the 9 to 10 crores
in this warehouse. I'm telling about the fulfillment center. Around 10 crores will be in FY27.
So it is not 16, the number is higher.
Yeah, okay.
Most of the fulfillment center and the warehousing is owned by Shankara Building Products Limited. Out of the 95 odd retail counter, 16 is owned.
Okay. Yeah. This is so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pawan Kumar from State Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I already?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. So my question is, like, can you give some color on client concentration, like, top 10 clients, how much revenue they are, particularly in the field sector?
Sorry, you are not clear. I couldn't hear the question.
So, the question is regarding client concentration.
Okay.
Okay. In the field sector, is it?
Yeah.
Like, so, we have both retail as well as dealer sales, as well as actual OE industry sales. So you can broadly say from our retail counters about 50% of sales goes. So the client concentration at a retail counter would generally be an end fabricator. It could be a contractor. So these are the two large segments and could be some amount of plumbing segment and structural engineers. This is, would be our client base at the retail area. When it comes to the, of course, the dealer segment, the channel segment, we give it to other, you know, dealers and retailers. The third, the OE segment, is where we supply directly to industries, where it is spread across a very, very wide spectrum, starting from general engineering, it can go to chemical industry, it can go to building industry, it can go to automobile. So it's a very, very wide spectrum that we cater over there.
Okay. So tell us on this, like, some color on, like, maybe revenue from the top, maybe 10 clients, some color on that.
Sorry, I didn't hear you. What is the revenue from our top clients?
Yes, the top 20 clients.
Yeah, see, here the business is very, very, very widely distributed. Just to give you an example, our top customers will be contributing around 1% of our total top line.
So that means the cost range of customer we are having, where range of customers we are having. Okay. And the second question, like, you are, like, extending now, are you extending the same geographies or looking for new geographies?
Right now, the plan is within the existing geographies only. We are not, as of now, contemplating on moving out of the existing geographies.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manish Kela, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So, sir, I have a question with respect to your other company, which is Shankara Building Products. I just wanted to check if I can proceed with my question.
No, I
can't get it. Yeah. We can't take up that, unfortunately, in this call, but we can take it up separately if you have a question.
Okay, I'll send out an email. Thank you.
Please.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I got just a quick follow-up. Sir, you said that your margins will be 3.3 to 3.5% this year. Did I hear that right?
You're not
being
adjusted
here. Sorry, didn't hear you, sir.
Yeah, as you said, around
3.5. But, sir, then we are essentially saying that there will be no to very little margin improvement this year in spite of 20% volume growth, in spite of non-steel growing 25%, and on top of that operating leverage coming. I mean, what are we missing? And not having any inventory loss also. So, like, not able to understand this part.
Yes, Viraj. I mean, I know this is getting a slightly conservative scope, but definitely, yes. I mean, the aspiration is very much to take it much better. So you can take it the upper side of that number.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ajit Sethi from IKO Quantum Solution. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So with quick commerce and hyperlocal delivery platforms entering the building material segment, so how does the company see the competitive impact on its business model?
I don't think there will be an impact. If anything, we will look at if we can leverage said hyperlocal and quick commerce for our products as well. So I think it's more of something we can look at and something new to add in the future. So I don't think it's a competition, it's more of a new vertical in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Apurva from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead. Apurva, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, sorry. My question was, how much revenue growth do we see for the year?
Revenue growth for the year, I think that depends on finally the...
Yeah, but it will be in the range of around 20%.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kiran D from Table 3. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have just one question. How are you seeing the competitive landscape shape out given the demand has been tepid and obviously multiple situations going on? I mean, we had one large off business who wants to come for an IPO with very cutthroat pricing that you spoke about a year and a half ago. And then there is something else started by one of our largest customers as well. So just wanted to understand how is the competitive landscape shaping up, especially in the steel business. Of course, non-steel, I guess the competition is very large. If you could just give some landscape, are you seeing random pricing or has the pricing kind of stabilized, has the specialty returned, and so on and so forth?
I think, the larger the players, like you mentioned, what we see is, as we explained in our opening commentary, that our entire approach to the market is very, very, very micro. We have our penetration into multi-layers of the market, whether it's urban, today about 50% of our, business comes from metros and the like, and the rest of it comes from the tier 2, tier 3, tier 4, the smaller towns and rural areas. So I think our decentralization, our ability to have a retail model that is very robust, I think keeps us relatively shielded from the competition from these larger players. Because their model, their approach itself is very, very, very different. So I think, yes, we did talk about it. Yes, they do have some, concern we do have in the larger metros where they, dump to larger dealer distributor kind of an approach. But I think we have seen it now for the last three to four years, and we have been able to successfully maneuver around these larger players.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for the clarity.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Hanchal Thakkar from Lucky Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Just more of a, question to understand the business model. At the beginning of the call, you mentioned that the business is largely dependent on, homeowners, retailers, influencers, and B2B. Trying to understand if there is a significant difference in business models or metrics across all of these, just to understand the granularity of the business and the earnings.
Yeah. So I think that part of the commentary was largely related to the building the non-steel portion and to some part of the steel part of the business. So there are two clear segments. We have one is the steel and the non-steel. In the steel, there is some amount of, you know, construction steel that goes in, which goes to this sector that, you know, the homeowners, and the retail counters, which are specialized in the building materials only. The second part of our, the steel segment, the steel part, we also have a very, we have a retail model, which goes to, again, could be, you know, related to construction, contractors, fabricators, etc. We also have a fairly large industrial sector, which we call the enterprise segment. And we also have a dealer segment. So it's broken up into four parts in our entire customer profile.
Sir, and the range of business metrics differs significantly across these four?
Of course it does.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Charchit Malu from Genuity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So I might have missed, but what kind of guidance you gave for the volume in the steel and on steel going forward in the 27 and after the year?
Yeah, we gave a guidance in the non-steel to go up to around 25%. So we hit the 750 mark. That was the guidance given in non-steel. And in steel, we talked about around 20% volume growth.
In next year and in FY28 as well?
Sorry?
In FY28 as well?
28 also a very similar kind of a guidance.
And more or less same kind of realization, sir?
Yes. I mean, steel is always a little bit up in the air, but yes, broadly, yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sukumar Srinivas for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much for all the participants who have taken their time out to be part of our conference call. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Shankara Buildpro Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.